morning, this is a meeting of the Streets Committee for Sylvania City Council. It is 7:36 a.m., Monday, April 22nd. President, myself, Patrick Richardson, Chair of the Committee. Other committee members, Doug Hanum, Mark Frye, and Mary Westfall. We also have members of council, Mark Lukey and Katie Capellini. From the administration, Kevin Aller and Mayor Craig Stow. And from the community, representing Mayberry Ice Cream, is Tiffany Scott and Dwayne Scott. Okay, everybody, I think so. So today, the meeting is about the potential for putting in a sidewalk connecting Mayberry Square to the gas station at the corner of Erie and Centennial. At the last council meeting, a group of citizens came in with a petition and an outline of a plan as to why they'd like to see this happen. Sidewalks do fall under the Streets Committee, so we're going to discuss that today. My first question was if there was any precedent to something like this, undeveloped land putting in a sidewalk. And I know Mr. Lukey had some insight into that. Do you mind sharing the information, Josh?
Sure. Mr. Lukey and Mrs. Capellini, actually. The mayor and Katie and I and 200 of our closest friends were together at one point after the dedication of the new library, right, on King Road. And I think the mayor was having a conversation with Clyde Scholes, who was the running the library at that point, and they were lamenting the fact that unlike the Sylvania Library, which is connected to Northview with a sidewalk, there was no sidewalk in front of the library to connect to Southview. And it kind of, we kind of let go at that, but it was very much the same situation, you know, from the corner the library built out to the end of their property line. But then there were three, four, five sort of underdeveloped properties, empty properties like this before it hooked up with the sidewalk that the city had in front of Southview. And so we sat with Kevin Aller and talked a little bit about who the potential stakeholders could be, brought all the stakeholders to a table with the county engineer's office. And by stakeholders, we mean people who would be able to either provide in-kind or some dollars. Mm-hmm. And very quickly, with the professionals around the table, you know, the county engineer and Kevin and his counterparts and so on, they were able to figure out a way to get in-kind for a substantial amount of it and share the cost around the table so that it was a fairly minimal amount. So I think by doing that, it seemed, I recall, Katie, we jumped over sort of the normal city budgeting process because we were able to come in with a project that was pretty well put together, right, and funded elsewhere. So that's the only example that I can think of, but I think it's relatively comparable.
So that sidewalk didn't, no money came out of the city budget?
I think the city ended up paying Kevin,
what, 12? Right around $4,000.
Yeah, it's a longer sidewalk, but we ended up getting the engineering.
The county engineer did the engineering.
And we shared it with some other entities, right?
Right, yep.
So,
okay. And Kevin, so did you, have you been in contact with the property owners on this?
Yes.
Can you update us on that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
we decide to do, we talk about, you know, do we do approaches or do we not do approaches? You know, if we do the approaches, then.
What does that mean?
Coming into the site, you know, do we just put the concrete, the 400 feet, and it, from the aerial, you can kind of see where cars have just automatically created some approaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do they continue to just use those, or do we put in poured concrete approaches?
So like the apron to address.
Aprons, yeah. Mm-hmm. The difficult thing there is we don't know, you know, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 15 years from now, how is that site going to develop? So, you know, will we have some material that ultimately is wasted, or, you know, do we just do the sidewalk and deal with that? So those are the kinds of things that we talked about, but he is willing to participate in some manner, but is not interested. He personally doesn't have the need for the sidewalk. Has no problem with the sidewalk going in, but wouldn't want to put the bill himself, the whole enchilada, so to speak. So those discussions we had, we met with him Friday, and so we're just trying to, a couple of things that came out of the meeting, we'll be trying to follow up on cost and that kind of stuff this week.
How does sidewalk maintenance go for non-residential properties?
They are required to maintain those, you know, 12 months of the year. So if they're, you know,
so the shoveling and
that's still a requirement
from the property owner.
Yes.
Okay.
Are they still owning? Do they still own the area?
Yes.
So it's a contiguous property.
They probably have plowing.
There would be a cost in its client services if you had the board, if you're going to charge it for that 400 feet. I don't think that wasn't an issue that we brought up. So
if this happens like this, or we can get members of the community together to help fund this, whether money or in-kind donations, how what's needed from council logistically? What kind of steps we need to take in order to make that happen?
The first thing that we would need to do here is get a quick survey done, just to make sure that we got grades established. And that would be a minimal cost, just because, again, we only survey at 400 feet. So that would be minimal. The cost of that would be so small that we'd be able to do that administratively, get that accomplished. And then once we have those set, it would be getting some basic plans together to provide Mr. Scott on, you know, exactly what needs to be done. And, you know, if we're going to go with 6 inches and that kind of stuff. We would then get an estimate from Mr. Scott to install, to basically complete the project, and then at that point we would need to determine on who is going to participate, what the participation level is, and things like that.
Yeah, it makes sense. We need a number before we start tackling this. How soon do you think we can get a survey done?
I'll be, you know, at the mercy of companies to a degree, and hopefully we can get some work done out here very quickly. Our first call would be to the Pillar Bench has kind of done all of the engineering for Bayberry and Centennial Crossings and to the rear of the development. So, you know, maybe we would get lucky and they've got some information already available to us. You know, as far as doing the survey, it's probably only a half day's worth of work. It's just getting it into somebody's schedule.
Sure.
So I would, you know, I would say a couple, you know, I would give a couple of weeks just because I can't speak to engineering firms' schedules, but a couple of weeks for the survey, a week for our design, that's long, but just for schedule purposes.
You don't need any acts of council or motions or anything like that in the meantime between us?
it's not like going from 4 inches to 6 inches is going to add, you know, if we were at 8,000, it's not going to add another 4,000 to the project. The proportional cost would be pretty minimal.
So when you make it 6 inches, the cars can just drive over at any spot?
Right.
Do we want cars driving?
Well, Katie, let me, if I may, I had a brief conversation with Mike McMahon after our luncheon on Thursday. And he indicated that the pedal offered a hook for this for them, that a lot of that space is used for parking centennial events. So that makes them kind of a stakeholder in it. So to the degree that that's connected with them, it might be more helpful. Not to prevent cars from going up there, right? Because he would then see it as an extension of his.
Well, I was just thinking it would just like contain cars to the driveway. It doesn't seem safe to have cars just
would
driving.
They park there anyway, though.
They do it there. Yeah.
But,
it,
I mean,
it's not changing.
To drive
you're,
out.
People
I mean,
just drive
increases,
out.
It, I know, but.
Yes.
There's kids riding that bike.
Yeah, now we're encouraging kids.
Well,
it's
a I think it's a
car.
Safer issue to have people who park there be able to walk on the sidewalk to get to Centennial, especially coming back, you know.
Yeah, the parking events and the kids walking to the ice cream shop or any other place in Granbury are two completely different.
But if you do park there, because I like when you go to a Centennial event, that is a sketchy park without a sidewalk and all those cars driving. I mean, I've done it. Like you park somewhere on the other side when you're trying to get to Centennial Terrace, so I don't think they're completely different. I mean, maybe different people, but still. It's
so
going to be great to be able to walk on that sidewalk when you're going to Centennial event.
So you're saying that you think it'd be safest to designate an in and an out
right.
sort of for cars.
So your cars can't
which
drive out anywhere.
Which would be what the fence you talked about, right? And you can get quotes on that and figure out what that cost would look like. And it reminds us of the property owner say he was he would be favorable to a fence.
You know, and
once that goes in, that becomes his.
Yeah. I think I totally appreciate what Katie's saying. Would agree in a perfect world, but I don't want to make the perfect the enemy of good, you know. And if, in fact, that increases the cost of the project, it might put it out of reach of us to be able to do in a quick term.
It could paralyze us in terms of moving the project.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, I mean, if somehow it costs de minimis, then that's fine. But
just make it an option. I mean, if it's so much more than we thought, oh, I'm doing work, but at least.
And that was one advantage that I have with putting in the apron is, does it guarantee people will use it? No.
No.
But it kind of directs people to
right.
it. So I think it would improve.
So that might be a compromise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no curb there right now, is there?
No.
No.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Well, what if you know, the approach is going to be a bigger expense phase. You know, they already got, if they go to the grass line between the sidewalk and the street, they're already putting cones out to tell people where to park, and we're not coming at, you know, the direction themselves. They're not just like everybody just go out in the park. So they already got cones. So the added expense is putting cones up, put caution tape up for every event. That's a direction for them. If you put 6 inch or 8 inch sidewalk in, they already know where your coaches are going to go. But then put the cones on every time. That's $5,000 in your pocket, not in it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And make them all the wall.
Just
put the cones on it sometimes. Yeah, they put them on every time they park. They got people parking those cars. Let them put the direction off themselves and it saves you money.
Just use it when you need.
When you got it.
Yeah.
Kevin, a couple of questions. If we go ahead with the sidewalk, should there be a crosswalk of any sort, stripes, whatever, to designate where people would need to cross to go to Centennial Terrace in your mind, number one? And number two, that's a 45 mile an hour speed limit. Do we need to consider adjusting that, or is that a conversation for a different day?
I would 45 mile an hour, that's just not a place where you want to get blocked and crosswalk.
And there already is a crosswalk in the corner, right?
Yes, right. We should strongly encourage those folks to go up to the intersection cross. Now, during the adult activities,
right,
they're going to cross wherever they want.
Which they're doing right now.
Kevin, just a sidebar, did the Wamshires give you any indication of what status is of that parcel now? Do they have prospects? Are they actively marketing it?
They're marketing it actively is a relative term. They're, you know, it's kind of one of those where the use that they would like to see there is something that they're, you know, you kind of have to just step back and wait for somebody to say, hey,
do they have something in mind?
They do. It's they actually have a proposed preliminary concept that they've thought about in there, and that's one thing that we'll be looking at with that approach. Now, again, who knows if it will actually develop that way, but at least we've made an effort to try to match up to something. So it's nothing on the hook, so to speak, right now, but obviously any developer is looking for some operation.
So for next steps going forward, the administration can do a survey and get some cost estimates, and then the next step would be to get maybe a meeting of all the stakeholders, which I would look to the Scotts for help and anybody else you guys would think of. And we can facilitate that if you guys need. Is there anything else I'm missing here?
No, I don't think so. We had, when Mr. Lukey indicated that there were some property owners interested in this, Mr. Sanford had talked with Ms. Scott, so we had kind of had the wheels moving a little bit, ahead of the council meeting even. I think it's just getting some numbers. You know, hopefully by that May 6th meeting, I could have some additional information that kind of gives us, where that next step forward. My big unknown at this part is really the survey. It's a minimal amount of work, but I just don't want someone
sure
to get work.
And then once this is all done, what's the installation time, something like that, in fall? Or for you,
next year at this time, maybe.
Wait, do you have someone that could influence you?
Usually, we would walk in there probably, if I had it set up right, I'd probably get it done today.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I know time is, at least in my mind, time is a little essential here as we are approaching summer, and this was the whole idea, so kids and community members can use it in the summer, so I want to get this done as soon as possible. If you could, and if something does come up earlier before the May 6th meeting, if it doesn't take any motions from council, we can get this stakeholder meeting going before that. Mm-hmm. If a surveyor happens to have an opening, tomorrow, if we're lucky. And if not, then we'll go to the May 6th meeting and then facilitate a meeting with the stakeholders, and we can go from there. Anything else from anybody else around the table there?
If I understood this right, Kevin, you don't need anything from council.
From a technical standpoint and a legal standpoint, no.
Okay.
I have one more question.
Go.
The approaches, I know it's commercial, not residential. Most of them are even to commercial. It's a good time to do that.
That was part of the conversation that we had with Brian. On the commercial side, we could go 80. We're debating whether to do that on the commercial side again, not knowing if that's where the approach is going to end up. We're kind of debating that right now. On the commercial side, the reason we typically go 80 is because you get delivery trucks, typically construction equipment sometimes. And in this case, we wouldn't have that. So we've kind of debated that. Yeah. I'd let you.
Not
Because if you have a few cars driving over it, that's not a good deal.
It's mainly when something falls up on it.
Exactly.
If you eventually do construction on that, you're gonna tear that up.
If it were 6 inches, it'd probably hold up. If it was 4 inches, yeah, definitely. It wouldn't mess with construction.
You drive trucks with construction material.
Yeah.
Over 6 inches.
Is that the only way to access the property?
They might change the approach depending on which way it's right or left, where they want it.
That's what we just don't know if it's where you
find it.
The proposed layout is, there are actually two lots there. There's a large lot at the north and then a small lot towards the south. And the proposed development is to basically combine those and split those in two equal halves. And then have a common drive in the middle with a drive on each of the other ends. But that's all speculative.
It sounds like there's some next steps in terms of decision, so we'll look forward to hearing what administration recommends there. But most important, I think what you're hearing is we're all excited about this and would like to get it done by summer. And we want to pass this path forward in the most responsible way.
All right, so if there's nothing